The Two Man Game Podcast is brought to you by Renaissance Insurance, Ryan Hicks.
What's up, guys? It's head coach of the Bears, Steve Smiley, and I'm honored to tell KFKA listeners all about my guy, Ryan Hicks, and Renaissance Insurance. Like basketball, there's plenty of players in the insurance game. So how do you choose the best one for you? For me, I look for character, passion, dedication, and like a star hooper, talent. Renaissance Insurance checks all the boxes and draws up the winning play every time. Let them find the perfect game plan for you. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825 or go to team-rig.com. Go Bears!
Attention Hoopers and parents of those Hoopers. Summer's almost here, and that means it's time for the UNC Bears head coach Steve Smiley's basketball camps at the University of Northern Colorado. These camps are designed to help athletes improve their game and skills, all led by Coach Smiley and his coaching staff and the players. There's a player development camp, a shooting and scoring camp, and more. All the fun begins in June, so register now while you still have time. Go to SteveSmileyBasketballCamps.com.
Welcome in to another edition of the Two Man Game Podcast with UNC basketball coach Steve Smiley. I am Brady Hull, and I was just bragging on Coach to him because we had this awesome... I've really come to enjoy these, but it worked out for me yesterday, yeah. The basketball and banter that you put on. A lot of Bears supporters, basketball supporters come out to this thing.
Yep.
And I gotta, you know, brag on you a little bit, man.
Sure.
Those things can get boring quickly, those kind of things.
Yes.
And the information that you're giving out to the donors, you're giving quick updates on what's going on in the world of college sports, which are things you and I talk about all the
yep.
time, but you kept it flowing.
Oh,
and
yeah.
talking about the players, giving some highlights, new guys coming in, guys staying. I really enjoyed it, man. And this is a guy that I follow all the stuff you're talking about. And I told you, I said, man, hey, when you decide, you know, 50 million years from now to hang yeah. it up from coaching, you have a career in either radio or public speaking. It's you did a great job, man. It was
a
lot of fun.
I've got this like this deep grovelly like voice that can work for the radio.
You don't need a microphone.
I appreciate that. And the event was great. And the funny thing about it too is like, you know, sometimes these things go behind the scenes. The public speaking and like, which I love doing and getting in front of people, you want to know something that's, you know, like my guys know about it. I like to use examples of like the best way to connect with people, right? And we talk about being servant leaders and stuff. The best way is to like try to use examples from like your own life or whatever, like just use stories. We use stories from other coaches. I had severe social anxiety disorder at the end of my high school career all the way through my college career.
No kidding.
Yeah,
wow.
In the sense of my first public speaking class, which I delayed until – it was a mandatory public speaking, right? I delayed till senior year. I had that class with my future wife, Miss Nikki Smiley, and she had delayed it as well. And so we didn't run through like a lot of classes together. And Psycho Sonny, we both delayed it together. So that class had myself, Sonny, my wife, a couple other, northern players. But we could talk for hours about that first class. So it was like a 30-second, hey, 30-second go around. There was like 20 – like Northern State, there's like 3,000 kids. So it's a really small college. So like, all right, the teacher's like, all right, we're going to go around the room and – 30-second, just a quick hit, you know, stand up in front of everybody, tell us who you are, you know, just one of those things that we make yeah. our guys do. And it's going around the room and this and that. I could feel my heart just pop, 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 pound, pound, pound. I was like, oh, my gosh, this is the worst thing in the world. Like, I thought I was going to die. And then got through, but I like the way that when I would have like a panic attack, basically, it was sweating, right? So like just pouring out sweat. You get through about five public speeches in that class. I can still remember a lot of them. And then I remember Sonny, because he's a psycho. He did a Jim Carrey impersonation speech one time from Ace Ventura. So he acted like so character actor.
That's
good. So like I said, we could go all the way through this, but like the point being that to go from there where I it was the thing I dreaded most in life was like to get up in front. I was that guy I get in front of 1,000 people now. I get them, which is great. And to be able to kind of just chop yourself through that and work through that type of thing, you know, point being – in that room, that's the third time. And there's a third annual. It's funny, I had a guy that was there. I'm not going to say who it is. But text me. He's like, hey, that was great. We got to keep doing these things. I was like, we've been doing these for 3 years. but regardless, I'm not going to say who that is. But at the end of the day, those events are great. And the reason we do those, and if people are like, man, I didn't hear about it, well, we don't publicize it.
Yeah, it's not like a public event kind of thing.
But like I've got my email list of over 700 supporters, could be donors, alums, media. I've got that list. And then after that, I personally start – I do the reach out on this one, you know, to invite and text and whatever it is. So it's not like this is going through our alumni office or whatever it is. It would be too big. But – We had an alum that emailed John Kitzman. It's like, hey, man, I heard about the Smiley thing, and I what the heck? I want to be involved. And that individual alum and donor had started giving just this last year. Well, my email list is not updated. So it got to me, and I was like, bam, yeah, awesome. Get to the thing. It's so great, you know, whatever it is. So we always lose some people through the cracks a little bit on these kind of more – a little bit more secretive things. We don't put it on social media or whatever it is. But hey, if people are out there listening and saying, I want to go to that thing, hit me.
Yeah.
Because it's awesome. And it's free. And, you know, it's free. And we're going to do it every year. We do other events like this too, like the roll call scrimmage in the fall. It's free. And we provide a meal, which now we're at a net negative, which is great because it's the return on investment on an event like that to get our donors and alums excited. We had 80 people there.
It was a packed house.
Packed house. Like to the point where Colin, who's my operations coach, who's the one getting organized and our facilities people, he's like, Coach, I don't know. I say, hey, well, hey, if it's got to be standing room only, let's get these people in there. But what a great opportunity to just sell the program.
Well, and again, it's so informative. You know, these are things, like a lot of it are things I talk about on a daily basis, but also a lot of it are things like, I know me being invited there is not – this is not, hey, this is breaking news stuff. You are giving insightful information that not even mainstream media is picking up.
Absolutely.
Just about your team, you know, evaluations on players, things that you're learning behind the scenes. And I think that's one of these things that's really powerful too is if you become a supporter and if you truly love college basketball and you truly love the UNC Bears, becoming a supporter of this program – you really get that access that nobody else does as far as learning about the inner workings. And, man, as a sports fan, if people that are listening to this, you're a sports fan, that's pretty phenomenal to get that kind of insight.
Nobody's given more access than us. Nobody. No. I'll put us up against anybody because we do. We sit there and, you know, we go through this, you know, 50-page PowerPoint in 60 minutes and it's like, okay, here's the returners. Well, why are we having this event here? Well, because the portal just closed. So there was a year we actually had this event during the portal, and as we were doing it, I was probably having a social anxiety panic attack saying, what are we doing? Because I'm the one that creates this calendar. Why are we doing this? Because what if one of these guys that I say is coming back leaves tomorrow? Because it's stupidity. So, like, we do it after the portal closes. We know who's returning. And I just really love – I love our community, our supporters learning, like, hey, look – we were at 16 players last year. We're at 14. Now, why? Like, in getting into that, and we have six returns. We have six new guys. Now we have seven, but because he just signed yesterday, we don't have his video. But then, you know, having those videos of those six guys, that is so, like, it's crazy. It's a five-minute video with those guys. Hey, you know, I'm Jeremiah Hammond. I'm Drew Payne. I'm, you know, I'm Caden Rayfield. I'm Keontae Tramble. How about I'm Campbell Blogg, right? The quality was terrible. It was not HD. I'm Andrew Crawford. Like, for them to just see a quick 45-second shout-out from those guys before we watch a quick little highlight. That stuff's powerful. You start to feel like you get to know these guys just a little bit. They're not even on campus yet. So we're trying to do as much as we can to generate interest, get behind the scenes, give content. And it was awesome. I thought it was a great deal.
And, you know, I think you even had a question about Andrew Crawford. He was the CU transfer, right? I was trying to keep all the names straight in my brain.
Yeah.
You know, you even had a question that was like, hey, he was at CU. He had another offer from Oregon coming out of high school.
And many others like
and
that.
And many others. What ultimately led to going to UNC? Because obviously that is a step in a different direction, but we know that that can be so powerful. And people want to know that. Like, what happened there? Okay, here's highlights from him playing in a Buffs jersey. Looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Why is he going to UNC? And that's not a knock on UNC, but
no,
you know,
it's
just being
game.
Real, it's a numbers game.
It's a numbers game.
But you were able to answer that. Like, hey, this is probably a conversation with Tad where it's like you might not have a lot of playing time. Yeah. He's a Colorado dude, too, so sticking around the state.
Yeah.
And obviously in his video, he was proud to say, hey, I want to represent Colorado. So
it's a big deal,
you answering those questions, I think, help a lot of people because when we see transfers now, again, everyone's transferring. But you wonder why. Playing time, money.
Yeah.
Did something go south there? Yeah. Being able to get out in front of that is powerful.
How about half the country? We showed that 2,500 plus.
I took a bunch of snapshots there.
How about that? Like half the country got in the portal. So, like with Crawford, it's a great example that – you know, he was the number 80 ranked player in America. Mm-hmm. And CU had to really grind to get him because when he went on the circuit, I still remember watching him play for KC Run GMC, same program that Dorian Green played for. There's connections everywhere, same program that Zach Block played for. So, you know, and now he played at Thunder Ridge High School, same high school that Drew Payne played for. So, like, he was a real, real, real guy. And CU, it's not like they just – they got him. Like, they had to recruit him and get him. But that's all their guys. At the end of the day, most teams are carrying 14 or 15 players. At the end of the day, 8 players are playing. That's just the math. That 7 players want a better opportunity, right? Mm-hmm. Well, maybe a couple guys graduate, this, that, whatever it is. But if not, it's like, you know, you have those conversations and you sit down with your coaches after the season, well, what is my opportunity? And I'm not privy to that conversation. But, you know, looking at it, at all the public stuff that came out that – Josiah Sanders coming back, Jalen Holland's coming back, Ian Emmons coming back. Well, those are all guards.
Yep.
So it's like, Barrington Hargis. Now, obviously, you know, but he's their best player, guard. So it's like, well, Andrew Crawford is some type of a guard. So it's like, okay, well, I redshirted, I didn't play much. We have the same conversations with our guys. So, but I think the normal fan doesn't necessarily understand until you talk to him about it. Like, what went wrong? Nothing. There's 15 guys on the team.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to play. Your clock is burning. Your opportunity to play college basketball is always running out. That sand is dribbling out of that hourglass, right? So it's like, you know, that's why you probably get in a portal. And then we had to really work to get him. I mean, he went on multiple visits and, you know, canceled visits when he committed. Like, this is a really, really big deal. But it's fun to put a little, you know, 45-second video of him in his dorm room or something saying, hey, you know, I'm excited to get a degree. Like, it's
yeah.
You can cover some ground in a quick amount of time.
Great ideas by you guys. Can I ask now, yeah. Stuff that I picked up yesterday, and I know not everything is out in the world for public consumption, sure. But I do schedule related, yeah. And I'm just going to hint at it. Schedule related and CU. Can we talk about that?
Yeah, we're not playing them.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, and like the schedule, all we put on the schedule stuff is what's fully confirmed. So yep. We can talk about that. So like Stanford. BYU
on there too.
Cancun Challenge, which will add a game on the way down there. Don't know who we're playing on the way down. And then when you get down to Cancun Challenge, you'll play. It's like there's two brackets, kind of like the Power Four high major bracket, which is not us, the mid major bracket, which is us. And so there will be 4 teams in there, you know, us and 3 other teams, and we'll get a chance to play a little championship down there. It's the third time we've gone to Cancun. Triple Crown Sports, who's out of Greeley, Fort Collins, North, like that's part of the deal is we're connected to those guys. So we get an opportunity to play in that thing. And it's just such a blessing. It's at the Hard Rock Hotel. It's right before Thanksgiving. It's a great experience. You know, obviously you're down there to win games, but it's a winnable. It's really been major teams. And so we're searching in the non-con. If it's not the money games, the BYU is like, that's going to be a bear.
Yeah.
Right? That's,
yeah.
You know, it ain't DeBonta, but it's like a DeBonta. Like, it's going to be a bear. Or, you know, you got your non-ones and things like that. We're searching for games that are like level winnable. Well, you get 2 in Cancun against mid-major neutral games. Those are gold for us. Doesn't mean we're going to win them, but like, you got a great opportunity to win them. But yeah, going back to your point, as I digress. Yeah, CU. We are not playing CU this year. We do know that.
Was it just the fact that you beat them last year?
I would say that publicly, but like, you know, obviously it's, you know, we were working on it, and I think what you're seeing too is, you know, I don't think beating them helps the cause of that. But at the same point in time, like, you know, with Coach Boyle the year before, that game went to double overtime. And if Marcel McCurry hits that shot, we did beat him.
Yeah, so 2 years in a row.
And he was willing to play us again, so which was huge, right? And it's such a big thing because those are money games and they're local. They're drivable. It drives interest from the fans. And we don't need to get on a flight to go play it. So it saves our budget. The budget's a huge thing too. But, you know, one thing you're seeing that's become really problematic scheduling for us too is that – The Power Four teams, the way to manipulate the net, okay, the net, what's the NCAA net? That's where you know, these teams, all of us, like we were, I think, 145 in the net this year was a big deal. It was a good thing. But the way that there's been however many years the net's been going on, and it just dumps in the BPI, the RPI, the KenPom. It's just this formula that dumps in all the metrics, right? Probably the Torvik, KPI, all this different stuff. The way to really manipulate the net is to get teams that are as bad as you can get, you know, 300-level teams, 330 teams, 280 teams, right, and beat them by 50. And the more you beat these teams, and like you saw some stuff last year, Utah State whacked, I think it was Memphis, but then they kept running the score up. And, you know, they're like, well, I can't believe you did. And they're like, hey, the way the net works, we have to run up the score on every team we can. It's not disrespectful, but like, you know, when Jokic wanted to fight the kid from Minnesota, right?
Yeah, Jaden.
I say kid, grown man, but like – But either way, in college basketball, you got to win by as much as you can because the way these metrics work, the more you win by gives you more power. Why does that matter? Because when you become Auburn or Miami of Ohio and it gets down to the nitty-gritty, are you going to get to March Madness? Those numbers matter. So as I go way off the rails on this, the Power Four teams, and that's CU, a Big 12 team, a Big 10 team, an ACC team, an SEC team, they are searching for teams that are 300 or worse in the country, and then they get those teams, they try to beat them by 50. It helps their cause to get to March Madness. And again, going back to this thing, there used to be 68 teams, right? Now there's 76. There's eight more spots. So, like, we are having a very difficult time getting the Power Four teams to play us. Big picture, we don't fit into that category. And we're not the only ones. The us, the Montana States, the Montanas, obviously Idaho had a great end of the year last year, the Portland States. I guarantee if you had any one of those coaches on, they'd say, we are having a – it's always been hard because there's a risk of losing. It's getting harder and harder because there's a risk of losing, and it doesn't help their net. So we're all stuck in this limbo right now. We split off 80 teams all across the country with my staff internally. Coach Green runs the scheduling for us now, and I'm very hands-on with that too. But I said, hey, listen, all hands on deck. We're going to pull out every big conference in the country that's buying games. Do you know someone from Louisiana Tech? Do you know someone from UAB? Do you know someone from Virginia Tech? And we're all, oh, yeah, I know a guy. And we're all saying, hey, here's our open dates. Will you play us? That's where we're at right now. It'll work itself out, but that's how hard it is to schedule. So,
And the ranking system, the net ranking, all this stuff, obviously, I know that's pretty much the only real way to do it.
Yep.
But it's what's tough about it is if anyone was paying attention to your program, since you pretty much became the head coach, and obviously Jeff Linder had success, if you really follow your program, you're a good basketball program. So that's where sometimes, I mean, obviously I know you can't expect the people, the powers that be with these rankings to watch and know every single team in the country.
Yeah.
But it's also, it's a blessing and a curse too. It's a good system, but the unfortunate part about it is CU teams like that look at playing you guys as almost we're supposed to win. And if we don't win, it's colossal. But in reality,
there's no value in it. Yeah.
But in reality, there in my mind, there should be like when you guys go up against CU or CSU, I fully go, yeah, I think that, in any given year when you put together a legitimate program, there's a chance that you guys could beat them.
Well, it's a 40-minute game. There's a lot of variation in college. It's a 40-minute game. It's not a seven-game series.
Yeah.
And that's why you see upsets in March Madness too. And, yeah, that's why it's gotten harder and harder. So, like, you know, I would love to fill our non-con with CU, CSU, Wyoming.
It'd be awesome.
Yeah, right.
It'd
like
just be
Air
great.
Force. Like, all that's going away. And luckily with my guy Sonny at Wyoming, like, we are going to do that exhibition again. That's going to happen. I don't know if it's going to be in Gillette or not, but there's a good chance of that. So what a grab treat for both the programs to play something neutral. And then I don't know if volleyball looked at that or if they just kind of – it's the same thing in their world. But what did volleyball just do? They just played the best team in the country, Nebraska. Did you see this?
Yeah. No, I didn't see it, but
they played them at Shadron State. Nebraska's in the southeast. Lincoln's in the southeast part of Nebraska. Shadron State's on the panhandle on the west side. Same idea. Those people that live in Shadron, they can't drive to Lincoln for games. Nebraska came to them. They brought the Bears up there, and probably because Coach Oates' team is so dang good. They played at Shadron State College, 2,500 people. That thing sold out in 10 minutes. You could only buy tickets if you were in person. It helped their local community.
Yeah.
So, like, I've been trying to create those things as well because now we have more exhibition games. So we've got the Wyoming thing that's going to happen. We do a close scrimmage with our friends to the west, not a public one. And we have one more game. So I'm searching. I try to get that going even, like, with the CU, but they're already full. Like, they play Marquette and they do some different things. But those things are awesome. Where there's not as much pressure. It's an exhibition game. We'll play all 14 of our guys. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But for the community – so I'm starting to bang the drum. It's not going to happen this year, but maybe next year. Where what if CU Boulder, right? What if like UC, which is CU Colorado Springs? What if we, Coach Boyle, what if we go down to the Springs, play an exhibition game, right? You take the majority of the gate because you're the draw. We get it. But still, those Buff fans that live in the Springs and Pueblo, and they can't really get up to Boulder as much. Don't want to fight that traffic. Let's bring it to them. So we're trying to all get creative.
I think it's a great idea, and it doesn't affect anything, right?
Yeah,
I
mean, those games are different. So right. Like, we're trying to find ways to not lose out on the local part of this thing because it is the DU thing. And I'm not saying we wouldn't play them, but it's different. Now they're in the West Coast Conference. Well, in the West Coast Conference, to go on the road to play, those teams are buying games. Mm-hmm. So it's like, are we just going to go play a home and home at DU, or should we get bought? Because yeah. Now they're in a different stratosphere financially. Well, they're also in a different stratosphere financially in the NIL world to get guys. So are we just going to take a discount and show up there and just play them for no – does that make sense? I don't know. Man. So the world's changing because yeah. the affiliations are – right? And it's just part of our job to be – to do everything we can to stay local. But the local thing, it's getting harder. So
I love the local thing. But I know the easy thing is like, oh, Tad's afraid to start.
No, it's not about that so much.
If we play them and beat them, great. We were supposed to beat them. But if we lose,
happened with Utah State and BYU. It just came out in the scheduling world. Bam, two-year series. One game did you see this?
Nuh-uh.
Oh, it's all over Twitter. One game, and they're both great programs. Right? Utah State's been to March Madness.
Yeah.
With all these different, they're awesome.
Several times.
And
yeah.
BYU's BYU. They stopped playing each other. There was nothing in it for BYU to play. Like, why would we go to Logan, Utah to play a great, same thing. This is not just a Colorado thing. This came out 2 days ago. They agreed to a 2-year series. However, the first game is at BYU. The second game, it's not at Utah State. It's at a neutral in Salt Lake City at the NBA Arena. And so, like, Utah State people are up like, oh, come on, BYU. But it's like, there's no positive for BYU to go to Logan, Utah. It's so risky. And so, yeah, like these things are changing because the metric – and the parts of the metrics and the – you know, and well, now there's 76 teams and like there's more – like it's what it is.
Yeah.
So we all got to like learn the system, understand the system, manipulate the system as much as we can. We just got to pay bills around here. So like we're reaching out all across the country.
There's so many things so many ways to look at it, but you're punished for being successful in your non-conference. I mean, that's just the way it is.
And we experienced it at Weber State 11 years ago when we were good back then and we had won the championship. And Eric Duff was our associate coach and he was a scheduling coach. And he was like, I literally have the worst job in America because I can't get anyone to play us. Right, and then heck, who are we playing? So what happens? You start playing really hard teams because eventually the dust is going to settle, and the math's still going to have to math itself out, right? Like the teams are the same, and the number of teams is 365 teams. We all need to fill a schedule at some point in time. Everyone's playing hardball is going to have to on both ends. It's going to have to meet up. So we know we have two more of these games we got to get, and we are literally chasing 100 programs all across America. And it's 20 no's for one maybe. It turns into a no for maybe that turns into, well, maybe. Then it's boom. We find, but it's going to take some time.
Yeah. No question. That's a fascinating topic there. Coach, I want to ask you, too. My brain starts going to, okay, how can we talk about Coach Smiley on this football, on the playoff expansion? 24 teams is what we're thinking. They're trying to get to that. The SEC is kind of fighting it. It sounds like we're going to remove conference championships, championship games.
Which were really cool back in the day, right?
You know, and I guess there's already this complaint about how long the season goes, how far the playoffs actually – the championship game.
What are we at, 12 or 16? 12?
12 right now.
With the four buys.
The SEC wants 16.
24 or 16.
The rest of – or no, excuse me. Yeah, I believe I'm right on that. It's either the SEC or Big Ten. They're at odds. One wants 16. The other wants 24. I believe it's the SEC that wants 16. So they're trying to figure out ways to – I mean, we got the Army-Navy game to talk about because that could be an issue. Conference championship week. They're trying to make it so, hey – we're not playing playoff games and or championship games into the second semester of the year.
Right.
So eliminating conference championship games, my brain went immediately to a conversation you and I've had so much about as we see college basketball making drastic changes too. I'm curious to see if there won't become more of a and again, I know there's money in the tournaments, in the conference tournaments.
Yeah.
But putting more value into the season would almost suggest, hey, let's crown the regular season winner. They get the trip to March Madness as opposed to the tournament. Maybe the tournament dissolves, whatever. I'm looking at all these changes, and I'm just kind of curious if that bleeds into the basketball world.
I would say no.
Probably not.
And the reason, like, first of all, like, as we talked about in this little luncheon yesterday, as we moved to 76 teams in the bracket, the way we understood it from our Big Sky commissioner is that it's only going to affect like the Monday and Tuesday, like the traditional March Madness, Thursday, Fridays, opening rounds. That's untouched. So adding these teams, and we'll just create – instead of the first four, it's the first 12 or whatever it is. Who knows, right? So like the Monday, Tuesday after Selection Sunday, there will be more games and more teams that are fighting their way in to get into the Thursday, Friday. So it doesn't change the timing of that. The basketball purist is saying, me included, like, well, if you win the regular season, that should be worth more than tournaments, so you should get in. But the money side, everyone starts watching college basketball in January, February, but they really start watching the conference tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
There's other logistical things too. What if you have, like, in the Sun Belt this year, there's like a 5-way tie for the champ. Who's going to March Madness? It's a 5-way tie.
It was, yeah.
But you know what's not a tie? Whoever wins conference tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So I think logistically you'll never have that because you can always say, hey, the conference tournament gets the auto bid because they won the game. If you have a 4-way tie, what a mess that would be, right? And that could be in football too, but yeah. You know, but like we're talking about our level to get into an auto bid, right? It's like, okay, hey, we won the tournament. There's no disputing that. You get to these tiebreakers.
And they're so complicated.
They're
you
so
and I have talked about that a lot. Like, I have to refresh it every time.
It's going to happen every year. I don't think that would happen, personally.
Well, and I guess with this, and this is the national conversation too with it, with adding more teams, the national story is, oh, you're taking more venom away from the regular season.
Yeah.
And for you guys, that's not the case because we know
right.
that nothing really changes for the Big Sky Conference.
I don't think so.
At this stage. But, you know, as they're talking about this, like how do we if you're adding this many teams and there's going to be so many – this is for football too. Do you take away some of that juice in the regular season? How do you make the regular season more impactful, especially for basketball where people maybe are latching on – yeah, like you said, people the casual basketball fan really starts to pick it up once you guys are like 90% of the way through the
exactly.
season. Then
it's
you're
like
in the
middle
tournament.
February. It's after football ends.
How do you turn that back?
I don't know.
And the same conversation's had in the NBA too. This isn't just college basketball. This is pretty much almost every sport outside of maybe the NFL with their regular season. So I know those are conversations too.
I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. I think the casual fan is gonna dive in late January when the football
no matter
championships.
What.
I think it's just what it is. And so, yeah, I mean, it's you know the non-con, the battle for Atlantis, the Maui, like all those things, the feast week. College basketball is always trying to do some stuff. The 24-hour tip-off, like they used to do that. Like there's all these things. But at the end of the day, I think the casual fan's gonna be dialed in, and they'll watch, but it won't be until late January, in my opinion.
Do you think, on the same note, I know we just randomly got here. That's how the podcast goes sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I think I saw a post right after the regular season, and then you guys jumped into the tournament, and it was like, hey, I get that the champion is going to get everything. You know, the winner of the tournament, Big Sky tournament, is going to go dancing. This poster, whatever it was like there just needs to be more for the regular season champ.
Yeah.
There needs to be a much easier path or a bigger – and we've talked about that.
Yeah,
like,
that could
do
be
you host
discussion.
A game? Do you – you know, again, we want – I like the neutral side. I think it's cool. But should there be way more power to that team that wins the regular season?
I would be in favor of that. And that's like the WCC model where it's like – you know, the 1 and 2 seeds get like quadrupled buys into the semifinals. And so, like, you look at that WCC bracket, it's crazy. You get your, like, I don't know, 9, 10, 11, 12s, they play a game, and then the winners of that play like the 7, 8, then the winners of that play the 5, 6, and the winners of that play the 4th. It's crazy. Then the winners of that, literally, like, the 1 and 2 seeds, they get like 5 buys. Now, talking to Linder at Texas Tech, it was similar this year. Where you get all these people are going to this a little bit. Ours is not going to that in the sense of like, you know, we've seen before our tournament will be a little different, public knowledge, because we lost Sac State, but we added Utah Tech and Southern Utah. So we went from 10 teams to 9 with, you know, minus 1 to 9, which is like, oh, plus 2, we're at 11. So even our regular season will be a little bit different. We'll play 20 games, but our tournament, what I think will happen is the 10-11 will play to battle in, play like the 9 will play the winner of that. That does help the one seed a little bit because now that nine seed's going to have to go prepare and watch and this and that and flip. It's going to be hard for the nine seed to beat the 10 or 11. But at the end of the day, like you said, against your 7 seed, won the whole thing. And, you know, huge congrats to Idaho. That's hard to do. I thought, man, winning four games, and they did it. But if you're talking about the purity, you know, we were not a 1 or 2 seed, so it's not about us. But if you're trying to get your 1 or 2 seed in, to get the best seed, right? Because your 1 or 2 seeds should have theoretically the best net and KenPom and this and that. That's why those teams, those leagues, the WC, they've protected those teams with massive buys so that when you get to the Final Four, you're rested. The other team might have played three games in 3 days.
Yeah.
And just physically, you just can't get it done. And then at the end of the day, Gonzaga and St. Mary's almost always are in the WCC championship. Santa Clara has risen up too, but that's how they've protected those teams. That would be the conversation, but I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I love the business side of it. Yeah. I know it's a lot, like people really are having a hard time with all these changes going on, additions extending or expanding the NCAA tournament, college football playoffs expanding. I just like the business side of it. I love talking about the business of sports.
You know, one thing that's happened with the portal, and we're basically on the roster now. We got to get one more guy, but we signed Manning Sharif. That just popped out on an article, and the video will drop soon. But when you think about the portal, right, and the 15 days, you could love it, hate it. Half the country's in it. I mean, it's destroyed my sleep cycles.
Yeah.
Bad sleeper anyways. But I'm just glad we're basically done. But here's one thing you can think about with this. With the portal and with this psychotic rev sharing of like teams, I've seen tweets of teams got, you know, caps of like $20 million. It's insanity. But you know what it's done? Again, almost like our banter luncheon yesterday, trying to draw interest in a time that's not really interesting for our local supporters. What the portal's done is it has created headlines and content in a time of year where people really didn't care before.
No question.
For like 4 to 6 weeks or, you know, 4 to 8 weeks after. Who won this year? Michigan.
Yeah.
Dusty May, isn't that crazy? After they won it, the next day it's about the portal. And for like 4 to 8 weeks, it keeps college basketball, whether you like it or not, it's content.
Mm-hmm.
And it has – and there's been people saying like there's some positive content to this where we've got like these people going, right? So it's something to think about that, yeah, the portal and the money and this disruption, the business side of things – has at least kept college basketball in the national headlines.
Well, and you have, like, after the season, like, the watch list of the biggest names entering the portal. It's basically free agency. So
that's all it is.
It is. It does keep it up there. Coach, I know you got to run, man. This was great. And I didn't even ask you about the depth chart today. I said I would.
Yeah,
I would start it off.
Chart.
You called it out yesterday.
But, no, we're so carrying 14. So we got a couple minutes for sure. So we got 14 guys is the goal. We got 13 done. We got to get one more spot finished up. And really, really excited. Just signed Manning Sharif, junior college freshman qualifier. So went to JUCO and was kind of, you know, beneath the radar because he was a freshman. And then qualifier, the last guy we signed out of JUCO, because we don't do a lot of junior college recruiting, I think, and I hope I don't screw this up, but the last guy we signed, Trinidad State, DeJure Reeves. Great ball player, right? Yeah. So we recruit programs. Mike Fulda, Trinidad State, has been too Hutch. And again, Trinidad State's like us. It is not the best job in Region 9 by a land. It does not have the best arena. It's in Trinidad, Colorado, kind of in the middle of nowhere, right? So he's taken – this is unbelievable. 5 straight years he's won the Region 9 championship and gone to Hutch, Kansas for the NJCAA Division I national tournament. A lot of people understand that. That's insanity. He is a great coach. And you know what? Guys like DeJure Reeves, a kid named Latif Patrick, who went to SFA this year and was their best player. His players have gone on and they've been productive. It is hard to make the jump for junior college. Same thing, Dalton Connect came from NJC with his success and Coach Trinkle. But a lot of guys that go to JUCO and jump, it's one thing to make the jump. It's another thing to be productive. At Trinidad, those guys have been productive. So we got this man, Sharif, 6'7", young. He's really young, which upside through the roof. Kind of another big forward, kind of, you know, similar position as Caden Rayfield. That was the goal. We had to get one more power forward, big guy. So anyways, the depth chart, the age chart, we're close to being done. Got to get one more guy to fill out the roster, 14. We're through the roof on, like, the possibilities of this roster. We're not crazy young, but we don't have 6 seniors, right? And you saw that yesterday. So, like, the growth of the summer and the fall is going to be critical. We have to do a really good job of just growing the team. Our 6 returning guys, critical, that they know what the standards and, you know, the non-negotiables. And that's on the court, off the court. And they're going to do a great job of that. But, like, that's the goal.
I know in the next, you know, several weeks, we'll kind of start talking about that.
Oh, yeah.
How do the new guys work in? What does that – what do those starters ultimately – kind of look like, even just a glimpse at that too. Coach, again, well done yesterday, man.
Thank you.
It was an honor to be invited to that.
Oh, absolutely.
I love going to that kind of thing. It worked out. We thought the Rockies were going to play yesterday, But then the weather moved everything. So we already preempted the show. So I was like, hey, I've already committed to this. We're gonna just pipe something in and make it down. But we will be carrying some Rockies today, it sounds like. So
I love it.
Coach, always appreciate it, my friend.
How cool. Last question. How close
are
you
to that beer? We're at 14.
14. What's our record right now?
14 and 23 or something like that.
Because we were getting close. Weren't we like
14
and 17? Like we battled.
Yeah, we battled. Unfortunately, a bad series against the Mets. Going to lose that series, but they could win today at least and get one before they jump.
I'm rooting for it, man. I'm rooting. So
yes,
all right.
I'm at the normal phase right now.
You're fine.
Give me about 2 weeks, and then it starts.
You're sort of looking like me. Like I might have to trim mine down after we get this roster done. Maybe that's why I'm growing this thing out is growth until roster. So
growth. Hey, we'll come up with something.
Let's do it.
Always fun. Appreciate you, Coach. We'll catch up with you next week.
All right, thanks, buddy.
The Two Man Game podcast is brought to you by Renaissance Insurance. Ryan Hicks.
What's up, guys? It's head coach of the Bears, Steve Smiley, and I'm honored to tell KFKA listeners all about my guy Ryan Hicks and Renaissance Insurance. Like basketball, there's plenty of players in the insurance game, so how do you choose the best one for you? For me, I look for character, passion, dedication, and like a star hooper, talent. Renaissance Insurance checks all the boxes and draws up the winning play every time. Let them find the perfect game plan for you. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825 or go to team-rig.com. Go Bears!
Attention Hoopers and parents of those Hoopers. Summer's almost here, and that means it's time for the UNC Bears head coach Steve Smiley's basketball camps at the University of Northern Colorado. These camps are designed to help athletes improve their game and skills, all led by Coach Smiley and his coaching staff and the players. There's a player development camp, a shooting and scoring camp, and more. All the fun begins in June, so register now while you still have time. Go to SteveSmileyBasketballCamps.com.